Hello.
Can you hear me? Okay, so good morning, everyone. So I first thank all the organizers for inviting me here. So special thanks to Yakir and Jeff, Justin and Matt from Chapman and Lucian Hardy from Perimeter for making this wonderful conference. So it is a great pleasure and actually indeed an honor to come over here. Okay, so today I'm going to tell you something about uncertainty and complementarity in the context of weak values. Does it work, this one? Okay. Yeah, so this is something we did recently in collaboration with Michael Hall and Wu. Okay, so the plan of my talk is something like I start with brief introduction and then I will tell you about the usefulness of this product concept of weak value, and then I will tell how do you understand uncertainty relation in quantum mechanics using the weak value. So this is something you will appreciate, and then I will tell you something new kind of complementarity that holds for weak values, and then finally I will conclude. Okay, so there is something also to do with incompatibility and trying to connect that to weak purity and the things like that. Okay, this is plan of my talk today. This one working? Slide? No, manually. Okay, so we all know quantum theory has been so successful in last 100 years, but yet it has many counterintuitive features like wave particle duality, interference, entanglement, and non-locality. And these features make this subject exciting even after 90 years since its initial formulation. So that's why we are all here.
And basic measurement
Okay. Yeah, yes, thank you. Okay, so to this word list, you see another addition that is the concept of weak value, and that gives a new twist which makes quantum theory even more stranger than before. Okay, so and we all know how this was discovered by Aharonov and Albert and Weidman while investigating the properties of a quantum system in pre and post-related ensembles. For example, if you have a system that is weakly coupled to an apparatus, then upon post-selection of the system state, the apparatus point at observable is shifted on average by real part of the weak value. So this is the thing how you encounter this weak value in context of weak measurement. Okay, so and also we know that weak value can have strange properties like it can be a complex number, and it can take, especially the real part of the weak value, can take numbers outside the spectrum of the observable that we are measuring. And over last couple of years, or maybe last 10, 20 years, this concept of weak measurement and weak value have been generalized in various directions and have found numerous applications. However, while the separate real and imaginary component of the weak value have been given various interpretations in the literature, the weak value itself as a complex number has not. So there are many applications, but just I will highlight a few of here. So typically, when you do strong measurement, you know that you disturb the system to a great extent, to a large extent. So you reveal one aspect of the quantum system. But if you do weak measurement, that can reveal incompatible aspect of quantum system. So for example, you can measure wave function of a quantum system directly, and you can amplify weak signals. There are many references, just say, you know, this is not complete list of references, but just to tell you a brief glimpse of the things that is happening. And also, you can prove average trajectory of a quantum system during interference setup. And as Ephraim was talking, you can also amplify the effect of one photon, as if you are dealing with 1,000 photon and so on. For students who are interested, they can look at very nice article by Arno Popes Kontrolaksan in Physics World, and also this very beautiful article in Nature and so on. And there is a very beautiful review article in RMP recently. Okay, so so there is something strange about weak value, that is, these weak values respect sum but not the product. So what it means is that if you have two observables, A and B, then weak value of A plus weak value of B is same as weak value of A plus B. But if you look at the product, they don't obey this rule. That is, weak value of AB is not same as weak value of A times weak value of B. Okay, so they don't obey that rule, and that's how many strange things can happen. And this latter feature has been suggested as underlying curious phenomena like quantum circuit, when one of the properties of a quantum system, such as its spin, appears to be specially separated from another property like position. Okay, so this is something strange you encounter. So what I plan to do in this talk is I try to exploit this kind of feature and see what new insight you can gain about uncertainty and complementarity of quantum theory or quantum systems. So quantum average of any product can be reconstructed from the weak values of the corresponding observables, and in this sense we try to interpret weak values that provide a hidden variable model for the average of a given set of quantum observables and their products. And this formula provides a simple derivation of the standard Heisenberg-Robertson uncertainty relation, and then you can interpret or reinterpret this as a classical dispersion relation for complex random variables. This is something new that you did in this paper. And in addition to this, we also derive a strong uncertainty relation for unitary operator, which gives a new kind of preparation uncertainty in quantum mechanics. So this I will tell you during my talk. And this kind of formula leads to naturally to the interpretation of weak value as the optimal estimate of a given observable based on the measurement outcome of a second observable. But I will not have time to explain this, but this also you can do this approach. And this interpretation is of particular interest because that makes no reference to the decomposition of the weak value into real and imaginary part, not weak measurement per se, unlike previous connection between weak values and estimates. So also what we do is we obtain a complementarity kind of relation for weak values of two non-commuting projection operators that restrict the degree to which they can take anomalous value lying outside the interval 0, 1. And so what it means is that if you weakly measure the projection operator like this and post-select on the state B, and vice versa, means you weakly measure this and then post-select on the state A, and then multiply these two weak value. Even though they are individually large, they can take a bit of large value, but this product can remain bounded by 1 for all pre-selected states. So this is something simple and interesting. And towards end, I will tell you a general trade-off relation that connect the weak joint probability distribution of two observables with their degree of incompatibility. So there is a connection between these two things. Okay, so you all know that weak value of an observable A for pre-selected state psi and post-selected state phi is given by this. Now if you replace phi with some measurement outcome state, say M, then you can have an expression which looks like this. And the probability of measurement outcome M on the state psi is given by the bound rule, which is this. And then you follow, you can follow that the average of the weak value with this distribution, if you write it like this, that is same as the average of the observable A in the state psi. This all we know. And interestingly, this reconstruction formula also hold for non-Hermitian operator A just by using linearity. So even if you have a operator A which is not Hermitian, you can still use this formula. And this reconstruction formula also you can use for the average of an observable. For example, if you have two Hermitian operator A and B, then you can also write down similar construction formula. And here we have a generalized version of this, which looks like this. If you average over the probability distribution and this A weak conjugate and B weak, that is same as A dagger B average instead psi. And this means that if you look at the weak value of A star and weak value of B and average over this probability distribution, this is same as this quantity. So this is what I mentioned here. So average of an operator product like A dagger B with respect to quantum state psi can be replaced by average product of the weak values with respect to the classical probability distribution P and psi. Okay. So this has a beautiful physical or operational significance. For example, if you have weak values of two Hermitian operator A and B and postulate on measurement outcome say M, then you can experimentally determine many quantities. Like you can not only recover the average of A and B, you can also find out A square average, B square average and A B average, and even variances and covariances using this formula. Okay. And you can also determine experimentally average of quantity like A minus B square from the weak values of A and B, where this average appears in various error disturbance and joint measurement uncertainty relation like Ozawa type. So in Ozawa type, we have this kind of expressions, and those quantity also we can determine from the weak values. So in this sense, we say that weak values also provide a complex hidden variable model for the average of a given set of quantum observables and their pairwise product. For example, the average of value of all linear and quadratic function of the annihilation and creation operator A and A dagger of a single mode field, including the quadrature observable like this and number operator like A dagger A, can be modeled for any state psi using the corresponding weak value A W with pre and postulated set psi and M, and similarly for A dagger with the classical probability distribution P of M psi. So with this background, I will try to tell you how you can understand this the standard Heisenberg-Robertson-Schrodinger kind of uncertainty relation using weak value and just using the classical kind of uncertainty relation. So that is the one of the beautiful application of this idea. So the complex random variables are standard tools in classical signal processing and information theory. And a complex random variable like this, you can describe by some real and positive probability distribution like P alpha, and average or expectation value of some function f of alpha, then you can find out using this expression. And the integral is over a complex plane with respect to some uniform measure, okay? And there are many examples. One well-known example in quantum mechanics is the following, that if you describe using this coherent state POBM, then the probability density for the field state rho is given by Hoshimi Q function, which looks like this. And you can find out average of any quantity using this kind of distribution. And then you define the variance of alpha is just the average mean square difference between alpha and its mean value. That is, variance of a complex quantity you can determine using this. Okay, so alpha square average minus alpha average mode square. And in same way, you can find out the covariance of two such random variables like alpha and beta with respect to a joint probability distribution like P alpha beta. And that you define like this. So alpha minus alpha average star times beta minus beta average, and then you take average over that. Okay, so that turns out to be just this. And so as usual, you define the average of F alpha beta using this joint probability distribution. And then the variance of alpha, just defined before here, is simply covariance of alpha and alpha. Okay. And with this definition, you can prove a classical uncertainty relation, and you can see in this article or even in this textbook, which is very interesting, very nicely written. So that looks like the following. So the classical uncertainty relation for complex random variable looks like this. So variance of alpha times variance of beta is bounded by covariance of alpha and beta mod square. Okay, so this simply follows from Schwarz inequality for complex numbers. So you see, now if you choose this alpha to be weak value of A in pre-selected state psi and post-selected state M, and beta to be weak value of B in pre-selected state psi and post-selected state M, and you choose the probability distribution to be this, then this classical uncertainty relation reduces to this. Okay, so variance of A W and variance of B W is bounded by covariance of A W and B W for the case of weak values of A and B. Okay, so this is really very interesting in the sense that from this, in just one line, you will be able to derive the Robertson-Schrodinger uncertainty relation. So that is something beautiful. Okay, so here is the proof. So what I say is the weak values classicalize your Heisenberg uncertainty relation. So as I said, the standard Heisenberg-Robertson Schrodinger relation you can obtain directly from the product representation formula and the classical uncertainty relation that I just showed before. So what happens is, for two Hermitian operator A and B, you can decompose the right hand side into real and imaginary part, and by definition this quantity simply becomes variance of A and this becomes variance of B. Okay, and look at this quantity, that is simply this. Okay, that you can write as a commutator plus covariance. So just in one line, you are able to obtain the Robertson-Schrodinger uncertainty relation from the classical type of uncertainty relation. So there is something interesting about the weak value approach or weak value formalism. So you can interpret the standard quantum uncertainty relation as a classical kind of uncertainty relation for weak values. So it is a curious fact that one of the fundamental relation of quantum mechanics you can understand as a classical kind of relation for complex random variables. Recently, we have proved something called stronger uncertainty relation for two non-commuting observable like A and B that looks like something like this. And in this relation, you choose this sign to be positive because this is a real quantity. You have to choose the quantity so that it is positive, and this quantity is something is also real and positive. And the state psi is just something which is orthogonal to state psi. So this relation goes beyond the Robertson kind of uncertainty relation, because you see the Robertson Schrodinger relation can be trivial if you choose psi to be eigenstate of A or B, because both sides are zero, so that doesn't tell you anything. But whereas here, even if you do that, this is zero, but this is something finite. So you have a non-trivial bound on delta A or delta B, even if you choose psi to be eigenstate of A or B. Okay, so that's why this is highly non-trivial. And recently, actually, people actually did experiment and they have tested this also. I don't know whether one can really derive this kind of relation from this classical like uncertainty relation for complex random variable. So it may be interesting to explore if one can also view this from this approach. I don't know that. Okay. Okay, so you can also go beyond this Robertson kind of relation. So what you can do is you can define also uncertainty relation for non-Hermitian operator like A and B, where A and B are non-Hermitian. Okay, so to do that, what you have to do is you have to define variance of A for a non-Hermitian quantity, that is defined in this manner, you would have the A dagger A average minus A average mod square, because once it is not Hermitian, then this is complex, so you have to define in this way. This was defined already way back in 1976, and also by Anandan, and recently we have used this also in the context of weak measurement. And this definition is exactly same as variance of a weak with that distribution P, okay? And this follows from the product formula, okay? And this definition has a desirable property that it vanishes if and only if size and eigenset of A, and also it becomes the usual variance if A is same as A dagger, okay? If it is Hermitian, then you get back your original definition, which is A square average minus A average square, okay? And a simple application here, you can see that if you take A and A dagger of a single mode bosonic field that satisfy this, and the variance of A dagger is same as A dagger average minus A average mode square, and that you can translate into variance of A plus 1, and because this is always a positive number, you see that variance of A dagger is always bounded by 1, which means that A dagger has no eigenstate. So this definition immediately implies that A dagger has no eigenstate, okay? So what you do is you can also try to obtain a generalized kind of uncertainty relation for non-Hermitian operator A and B. So if you use the classical uncertainty relation for complex random variable, then you can obtain this variance of A times variance of B is bounded by this quantity. But then this quantity is same as A dagger B average minus A dagger average B average is mod square. And this second line follows again from this formula. And this was obtained in last year. And this, you see, this is same as equivalent to the classical uncertainty relation that that you derive for weak values. So this can be applied. So this particular relation you can apply to obtain a strong uncertainty relation for unitary operators, okay? So in next slide I will tell you about that. So if you choose your A to be something like some unitary operator U, then you see U dagger U is identity, so the basically you have delta U square is 1 minus psi U psi mod square, okay? The very simple quantity. But this is a very clear physical meaning, because the uncertainty in U is actually connected to the visibility in interference. Why? Because if you send a particle in some state psi through a Mach Zehnder interferometer and apply U in one arm of the interferometer, then visibility in interference is actually governed by this quantity. So you can show this, okay? So we have this Mach Zehnder interferometer, you send a particle through beam splitter, then it splits, then again you recombine here, but before that you apply U in one arm, then you see the interference that is governed by basically this quantity, okay? So uncertainty in U places a restriction on the interference visibility. So if this is, if visibility is more, this will be less, and vice versa, okay? So if you apply the previous uncertainty relation to two non-commuting unitary operator U and V, then that tells you something new, kind of preparation uncertainty. So that goes like this, that uncertainty relation for two unitary operator suggests that quantum states cannot be prepared such that some of the interference visibility due to two non-commuting unitary operator will be arbitrary, because there is non-trivial upper bound on that, okay? So that looks like the following. So you define U average, which is your visibility, as small u, and then visibility due to unitary B as the small b, and then if you use the previous relation here this one, you can obtain this inequality, you can obtain this, okay? So let me explain what this quantity is. This phi is actually a complex, it is phase of the complex number, which looks like this, and this is quite well known in the literature of geometric phase. This is called Bergmann invariant, corresponding to state psi and U of psi and V of psi. So what it means is that basically you take this, given any three vectors psi, say psi 1, psi 2, psi 3, you just multiply psi 1, psi 2, psi 2, psi 3, and psi 3, psi 1 in cyclic order, then that is your Bargmann invariant. So this is the phase of this complex number, and this is the overlap of U dagger V. Okay. So this tells you that the visibility in due to U and due to V is actually bounded by this. Okay. And this quantity is something like commutator, you know, for Hermitian operator, because this overlap, if you to understand why this is like commutator, if you expand up to small time evolution, or for example say, so suppose U is exponential minus I h t and V is exponential minus I h prime t. So if you have this small order time evolution, okay, then this quantity is actually the commutator of h and h prime. So okay, so now you go to complementarity of weak value. In quantum theory, you know that complementarity imposes limitation on our ability to unambiguously define and measure aspects of quantum system in a single measurement setup. So this is a very famous quote from Bohr. It is only the mutual exclusion of any two experimental procedures permitting the unambiguous definition of complementary physical quantities, which provides room for new physical laws, the coexistence of which might at first sight appear irreconcilable with the basic principles of science. So in the context of weak measurement, it is possible that one can probe two complementary aspects of a quantum system at the same time, but at some price. If the apparatus interacts with the system weakly, allowing gentle observation without disturbing the system too much. But nevertheless, what we notice is there is a strong kind of complementarity between a given weak measurement and a mutually exclusive procedure obtained by interchanging the weak and strong component. So what I mean by this is the following. So suppose you have given two projection operator A and B like this, and there could be eigenvector of some observable A, and this could be of some observable B. So what you do is you pre-select the system state in psi and consider weak measurement of the projector A, but you post-select on system state on a state say B. Okay. And next time you interchange, that is you measure weakly this projector and then post-select the system on state A. And then corresponding these two scenario, you have the weak value which looks like this. And in this case, this looks like this. Okay. now, you notice one thing. This wave, the wave functions in A and B representation actually connected by the weak value, which means the weak value of A times psi B is connected to psi A, and weak value of B times psi A is connected to psi B. So this is a, you can interpret in a different way by saying that psi A and psi B are directly related without a unitary transformation. The weak value, they act like a filter that connect to complementary aspects directly. Not only this, you can ask the following question, that can the two weak value be arbitrarily large at the same time? Okay, because typically you know that they can go beyond the average of the observable or beyond the spectrum of the observable that you are interested in, but strangely in this case you will see that they are not. Okay, there is some restriction. So how that looks like? So before I tell that complementarity, so first note that the weak value of projector A and B you can express as average of the projector in the state psi plus something extra. Okay, so this look like this plus this, and average, sorry, the weak value of B look like this is equal to B average in the state psi plus additional piece. Okay, and this additional piece is basically variance of A in the state psi, and this you can prove simply using the formula that Yaki told, or even Weidman's formula, that you decompose A psi as average of A psi plus delta A times psi orthogonal. So using that simple formula, you can write down these two expressions. So this shows that the weak value of this projection operator actually can be large and can lie outside the eigenvalue of range like 0, 1. okay, because there are additional things. But what happens is the following. You will see that both weak values cannot be large at the same time. Okay. So if you multiply these two weak values, this is simply bounded by 1 for all choice of initial state. So even though individually each of these weak values can be complex and can be arbitrarily large moduluses, but the product is real and does not depend on the pre-selected state and bounded by 1. Okay, this is something funny, something strange about weak value. If you interchange A and B, so this represents a new kind of complementarity between weak and strong component of quantum weak measurement. And so what I just proved is for finite dimensional Hilbert space, but you can also do same thing for infinite dimension. That is, you can show that this kind of complementarity also hold for position and momentum projectors. So you see, you want to measure this projector in state psi and postulate in state x. And next time, you weakly measure x with pre-selected state psi and postulated state p. Okay, so they look like this. Then if you multiply these two weak value, you see that this is basically bounded by 1 over 2 pi h bar. So if one of these, this is large, the other has to be small. So the complementarity of weak value of two non-commuting projector is a general feature of quantum system that holds both in finite and infinite dimension. Okay, so now I'll go to the last part of my talk. So here what you can do is you can try to connect this weak joint probability and the weak purity and the notion of incompatibility for two non-commuting observable like A and B. Okay, so the weak value of A in state psi, or say in general some state rho, for the projection operator say A with post-selection state say B, or sometimes referred to as weak probability. However, here we will follow the common practice of identifying the real part of this quantity as weak probability. So more generally, if you have two POVM, A and B, you can define the weak conditional probability of A postulated on the state B by this quantity. And here you don't assume that A and P are rank 1 like you did before. And this weak conditional probability distribution is physically measurable by a suitable weak measurements. Is the corresponding weak joint probability distribution, so both you can measure in experiment. And this PWAB, this joint probability, you can find in this formula, and that looks like this. And obviously this PB is basically trace over times the projector. And this weak joint probability distribution you can also recognize as this quasi probability distribution, which satisfy these marginals. So sum over B gives you P of A, and sum over A gives you P of B, just like for classical joint distribution. But the difference is this weak joint probability distribution can be anomalous. Now you can define something called incompatibility between two POVM element A and B in a quantum state rho, which is defined in this way. And notice that this quantity vanishes if and only if this holds. And this follows from a result of by a paper from Bush in 2008. If one of A or B is a projector, then this is zero, and that is equivalent to being this is positive. Thus, there is a connection between anomalous weak probability and incompatibility. So you can define incompatibility of two measurement A and B by taking sum over A and B. This is your total incompatibility for this POVM. And then you will notice that this measure that we define is independent of the particular value that you assign to the outcome A and B. And hence, you can characterize the incompatibility in an invariant manner and that ranges in this 0 and 1. So the lower bound we can reach if and only if this is satisfied, and this upper bound we can prove using Schwarz inequality and noticing that this is this using this condition. So now what I will try to prove is some kind of trade-off relation between purity and incompatibility. So you see, you have the relation this the joint distribution satisfies this. Okay. Now consider for simplicity, consider pure state, rho is pure, and you consider A and B to be rank one projectors. In that case, you have this relation. Okay, from this, it just follows from this. So then what you can do, you can show that this is equivalent to the equality in the complementarity that I showed before. Thus the latter relation may also be interpreted as something that relates with joint probability and incompatibility. And further, you notice that this is positive, and that gives a weaker complementarity kind of relation, which is this. So this tells you that if in a weak measurement the weak probability of A with postulated set B is greater than 1, then the converse weak probability must be less than 1. And if you sum over A and B in previous relation that I showed, then you have this kind of bound, that is PW plus IAB is less than this quantity, where this is weak purity and this is total incompatibility of A and B. We can also do something for general state rho and some general operator A and B. So this quantity is bounded by this, and if you substitute this in that relation, you notice that you can obtain again this PW plus IAB is bounded by trace of rho square, but this is nothing but your quantum purity. So for a given purity, there is some kind of trade-off between this weak purity and incompatibility. And also something you notice here, that because this is positive, you can immediately notice that P weak is less than P quantum. That is, weak purity is always bounded by the quantum purity. Yeah, I'm almost close. So the trade-off relation that you generalize here to all state and observables has several physical implications. So let me tell you briefly. So first, you notice that the weak purity is never greater than the classical maximum value of 1, even when some of the weak probabilities are negative, thus restricting the degree to which the weak probabilities can take anomalous value. So this is one implication. And second thing is that the greater the incompatibility of A and B, the smaller is your weak purity, or vice versa. Okay. And third thing you realize is the following, that the incompatibility of A and B is something upper bounded by the difference between quantum purity and weak purity. And this difference can therefore be considered as a resource for incompatibility. Something similar to difference between quantum purity and classical purity, and which acts like a resource in quantum coherence. This is a new area that is emerging, trying to quantify within resource theory framework. People are trying to see this quantum coherence and what you can do with this quantum coherence. So maybe something similar, maybe one can think of in this context. Okay, so now time to conclude. So what I have shown in this talk is I tried to convince you that weak values of quantum observable have many physical applications. In particular, if you use this formula, then that is going to use to recover various quantum averages from experimentally determined weak values. And interestingly, you can use this and classical uncertainty relation to obtain this Heisenberg-Robertson Schrodinger relation. And using the more general classical uncertainty relation for complex variable, you can also prove a strong uncertainty kind of relation for pair of unitary operator, which gives a new kind of preparation uncertainty, in quantum theory. And in the weak measurement scenario, if you weakly and strongly measure some observable and then interchange, then there is kind of complementarity between these two weak values. And then I try to prove a trade-off between weak purity, quantum purity, and degree of incomparability of two observable. And this may quantify the extent to which the weak probabilities can take anomalous value. And we hope that this kind of explorations may open up new ways of thinking about the uncertainty and complementarity using weak values. Okay, so this is the paper with Michael Hall and Wu. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I've actually seen the paper, it's very nice. that motivates my question a little bit. There are so many ways to look at the uncertainties here. And my problem when I try to make good use of that is that I sometimes lose the physical intuition of what these new uncertainty relations mean.
Which one were you talking to? New one?
Well, there were actually a little bit many. Almost in every case, there's a little bit of a question mark about what kind of statistical property we are actually looking at. So, for example, I mean, one thing I like is you have basically for projectors, which has an intuition of a quasi-probability. And actually, I was a bit surprised that you don't have the Dirac distribution there because that's the complex one, of course.
Yeah, you can also have.
So, for example, would that give us a better intuition about the limitations or the meaning of a Dirac distribution?
No. For example, the first one I showed where you can try to understand this standard Robertson-Schrodinger uncertainty relation using this complex random variable classical like uncertainty relation. So that, to me at least, it is something satisfying that okay, there is nothing quantum about this uncertainty relation, but quantumness only lies in the weak values, you see. So there is something interesting.
Yeah, one for projectors and
That is to do with complementarity, not uncertainty. That is different.
But the connection would be interesting because this incompatibility of observers is also a bit of an abstract concept. So I would like to see the connection that
Okay.
Other questions? Okay. All right. Well, let's thank Aaron again.